18. The mid-morning light of a fresh new day in Ledchurch didn't so much cascade in through the windows of Philip's rec room as it tumbled in reluctantly and hit the floor in a chilly, flat grey heap. Outside, an unbroken ceiling of clouds drizzled chilled water. Inside, all the lights were off and the curtains were drawn just enough to let light in but send the message that the light was not welcome and had better mind its manners. The room's original entrance and exit was the staircase that led down to Philip's séance room and storefront. But in the time since Philip remodeled, he had added two doors. One was a large wall panel that lowered like a drawbridge, designed to allow Philip to drive his beloved Pontiac Fiero in and out, which he rarely did. The other was a simple wooden door set into the wall on the opposite end of the long rectangular room. This door was linked magically to Britt the Younger's apartment in Atlantis. It was the small door to Atlantis that creaked open, allowing in yet more light, a bleary-eyed Philip, and the sound of a conversation that was already in progress.
"No," Philip said, "I just didn't sleep well."
Nick's distant voice drifted in.
"I could make you some tea."
"No, thank you, Nick. I have it handled, thanks."
He shut the door behind him, and instantly his body sagged. For a moment he stood there, breathing and listening to the silence. This room was full of items Philip had hand-picked to make himself happy, but he took no notice of any of them, not even glancing at anything beyond the wet bar. He reached for a coffee mug and an empty diner-grade coffee carafe to which he'd applied one of his better macros. He tipped it over the rim of the mug and freshly brewed steaming hot coffee poured out into the mug. Philip stared down at the mug long enough to take two heaving breaths, blinked so slowly it almost counted as a nap, then muttered,
"Why not?"
He reached for a bottle of scotch and poured a shot into his coffee. He spent about 5 minutes standing there behind the bar in his darkened rec room, eyes closed, drinking his spiked coffee in silence. When the mug was empty, he set it aside and, with Herculean effort, took the 3 steps back to the door to Britt's apartment. He gathered his energy, stood up straight, and opened the door.
"Okay, Britt," he said cheerily. "I'm almost ready to go on that walk we discussed. I just need to visit the loo first."
Britt's voice was distant but easily understandable.
"Actually, dear, I've decided not to come along."
Philip stepped into Britt the Younger's apartment and pushed the door closed behind him.
"Oh, in that case, I suppose I'll just go get it over with. The sooner I start, the sooner I'll be back with you, after all."
As the door swung shut, Britt said,
"But I thought you had to go to the bathroom."
At the same time, Nick called out,
"Oh, and while you're out, can you please get me?"
The door closed with a thud, and the room fell back into silence. The haggard-looking future Philip leaned out from his hiding spot behind the Gorf machine and scanned the room, making sure present Philip was truly gone. Convinced that this was the case, he turned to the large, empty space where Philip's Fiero usually sat.
"He didn't even notice," future Philip said. "All that trouble to steal my own car, and he didn't even notice. I figured he'd spend the rest of the day looking for it."
Martin said,
"He seemed pretty distracted."
Future Philip jumped and spun around to see Martin's eyes and hat poking up from behind the bar.
"I wouldn't judge him too harshly. Neither of you noticed that I was hiding down here."
Future Philip snarled,
"What are you doing here?"
Martin held up one finger, asking for Philip to wait a second. Martin turned and moved forward in small lurches, raising a few inches with each step, making it look as if he was walking up a staircase behind the bar. When he was standing fully upright, he said,
"I love that gag."
"Yes,"
Philip said.
"Hilarious. Now what are you doing here?"
"Watching you? I've been watching you for a while now. I watched you while you stalked Philip, current Philip, when he was out for a walk with Britt, current Britt, yesterday. I watched you lurk outside their home all night. I followed and watched as you snuck into Philip's most private personal space. I saw it all, and a disgusting sight it was."
"You did all of those things, too."
"Yes, but you did them to spy on Philip and interfere with his life. I did them to protect Philip and keep tabs on you."
"I am Philip."
"Sometimes a friend needs to be protected from themselves. And I didn't steal his car."
Philip pointed out the window.
I was just trying to distract him. The Fiero's just outside, hidden under a haystack. I can have it back in here in less than a minute.
Then I suggest you get to it.
Future Philip sneered at Martin.
It didn't work anyway.
He pointed his staff at the large drawbridge door set into the wall, but nothing happened. He tried again, with the same result. Martin snapped his fingers.
Oh, that's right. While I was waiting under the bar, I set up a zone around you where no magic can work.
Philip's eyes grew wide, and he blurted,
Transporto Hishmu!
Nothing happened. Martin smiled.
Yeah, inside an 8-foot box, there in that corner of the room, you can't do magic.
An 8-foot box? Future Philip asked.
Yes.
Right.
Future Philip took two determined-looking steps, then slammed headfirst into an invisible wall. Martin came out from behind the bar and stepped closer to Philip.
I also put up force fields to keep you from leaving the area where you can't do magic. Sorry, but I need to keep you from interfering with Philip until I figure out what exactly is going on.
You know what's going on! I told you what's going on!
And now I'll be able to verify it.
You're just enjoying acting like a jerk, aren't you, Martin?
Look who's talking! You're the one who stole a man's car!
It's my car, and I only did it to distract him. You know what, though? I can still get his attention. I'd hope to avoid this, but you forced my hand. All I have to do is yell loud enough, and they'll hear me in there.
He pointed at the door to Britt the Younger's apartment.
Philip will come running, and he'll see me, and that I'm him, and that you have him, i.e. me, trapped. That'll distract him.
Philip's gone for a walk.
Then Britt and Nick will hear it, find us, call Philip, and it'll be an even bigger distraction.
Martin shook his head.
You can't do that.
Philip said,
Watch me,
and opened his mouth to shout. Martin touched the head of his staff to the force field that held Philip in place and said,
Mute.
Philip shouted, but no sound came out. He shouted again, louder, but with the same result. No sound at all. He extended his index finger as if he intended to give Martin a piece of his mind, or poke him in the eye, or probably both. He took one step and ran into the invisible wall again. He let go of his staff and used both hands to explore the invisible wall by feel. It extended several feet on each side before bending at 90 degrees, completely enveloping him. Future Philip bellowed at Martin with all of his might, but couldn't make a sound.
"You like it?"
Martin asked.
It's a macro I've been working on in my spare time. I call it the Mime Box. I was saving it for after Gary did something really over the line to one of us, which I figure is only a matter of time. I wanted to hold it for something special because being trapped and forced to act like a mime is pretty much the worst non-injuring punishment I can think of.
Philip pounded on the invisible wall and screamed, but no sound was audible. Martin said,
I see you agree.